The Brandon McNaughton Podcast is brought to you by Lucy Pet Food. Why feed Lucy pet food? Because they specialize in gut health, which is vital to the overall health of your dog. I feed it to all my dogs because it works. Go check them out today at lucypetfood.com. One of the most annoying things dogs can do is bark excessively. Trust me, I know, I train them all day long. And unfortunately, barking is one of the number one causes of animal control being called. And if animal control is called one too many times, now the court systems take over and they deal with you. And trust me, you do not want that to happen. Now, as you all know, I'm a technique junkie. I typically prefer to train my dogs off of technique rather than use a tool. But what happens when I meet that one dog that I just can't get through to them with a technique to stop their barking on command? It's rare, but it happens. This is where I pull out a handy little tool known as the Bark Be Gone. It's a cool little handheld device that with a simple push of a button, it instantly stops your dog from barking. Okay, so how does it work? Don't worry, it's not a shock collar. I wouldn't do that to you guys. It's ultrasonic technology. It simply emits a high-pitched ultrasonic sound which immediately distracts your dog from barking. So stop yelling and screaming at your dog for barking all day long with no results and go to barkbegone.com. And who wants a discount? For 20% off, use the promo code Brandon at checkout. Go to barkbegone.com. That's BARKBEGONE.com. Go check them out right now and stop your dog's annoying barking habit for good.
This is the first of most likely many Ask the Experts panel where myself and two experts in their respective field will be answering all of your questions that you guys have been putting on my Facebook now for the past few days. I believe we got probably about, 400 or 500 veterinary questions?
Over 500.
It was ridiculous. So, okay, no introduction to myself. Most likely you know who I am, but I'm going to introduce these two. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm Karen Duck Halligan. I'm the Chief Veterinary Officer for the Lucy Pet Foundation, and I'm also Associate Vet at Marina Vet Center, which is where we're at right now.
And then, to my right, we have the incredible...
I'm Joey Herrick, president and founder of the Lucy Pet Foundation, Lucy Pet Products. I've been in the pet food industry for over 30 years.
We're going to try to get through as many questions as possible today. It's impossible to get through them all because we got way too many. But what I did was I picked the, as promised, I picked the most popular ones off my Facebook page. And we're going to try to get to even more than that. So first question is for Dog Halligan. Okay, so what is the single most important thing pet owners can do to have their pets live as long as possible?
Love this question, Zan, because you have to take your pet in once a year and have the vet exam. Why? Because pets age 7 years in 1 year. And I can't tell you how many times I put that stethoscope on little Fifi and... Mrs. Smith, your dog has a heart murmur. Oh, look, that tooth is rotting out. Oh, did you see this? Oh, your pet has fleas. Oh, your pet has this. And then if they're 7, where they're considered senior, then I'm going to say, let's do some blood work. We're not doing it just to charge you a vet visit. We go to school for 10 years, and we're like detectives. We're the ophthalmologist, we're the cardiologist, we're the dentist, and we really want to protect your pet and find everything that's wrong with them. So please take your pet in every year, once a year, to a veterinarian, and you will buy years on your pet's life.
I actually knew most of that, but...
Good. Hello, Dr. McMillan.
All right. Even though I've probably dumped my life savings into veterinarians, but that's because I have so many dogs,
right.
I always pick the dogs with the biggest problems. Okay, so, all right, next question is for Mr. Joey Herrick behind me. Okay, so it says, I started feeding my 3-year-old Lucy pet food about 6 weeks ago. Well done on that, by the way. And she's doing very well in it. I'm planning on getting a puppy in a few months, and I'm wondering if an 8-week-old puppy can be fed Lucy pet food as well, or is it better to start them off on puppy food?
Yes, all our formulas are designed for all life stages. So they are great for puppies, great for adult dogs, senior dogs, and it'll work very well. So I would keep it on the, our salmon or whatever you're feeding. It's all life stages. Puppy food is a marketing ploy. It really is. I've been doing this for 30 years and in my other company, I never ever in 25 years had puppy food. I've raised millions of puppies. on our all life stage formulas. So I would just stay with an all life stage formula, but make sure you look at the bag. You know, hopefully you stay on our food and feed it, but to anybody who's feeding, you know, any brand, make sure that it says on the bag that it's for all life stages, because some foods out there are designed just for adult dogs and not all life stages. So make sure whatever food you're feeding, check your bag, make sure it's for, if you got a puppy, make sure it's for either puppies or for all life stages. That's the key.
Joe, I actually have a question about that. Sure. Is there anything when you see puppy food being sold in the market, is there anything they're putting in there that's specifically for puppies, or is it all marketing?
It's basically marketing. When puppy food started many, many years ago, when it first started, and there was a major company that started it, and it was the exact same formula for the first 3 years. And then the next 3 years, they made the kibble smaller for puppies, because a lot of people, marketing-wise, you want to get your dog on a puppy food, and then you move them to other foods. It's really a marketing issue.
Okay. Can I just chime in too? We sell so much Lucy Pet at Marina Vet for the puppies, and they think that the puppies can't chew the food but it's flat and they can chew it, and it gets their gastric juices flowing. So the Lucy Pet food is formulated for all life stages, and it's a good size kibble that they can crunch and they enjoy crunching.
This one's actually for me. This is actually a common question I get asked all the time, but I always get asked it no matter what when I do these lives. My dog keeps digging holes in my backyard. I've been through several trainers with no avail. My yard looks like Swiss cheese. How do I stop this? Help. I'm at the end of my rope. Okay, so this is a very simple answer. It's also very gross. The best way to stop your dog from digging holes in your backyard, all you have to do is basically when they dig a hole, you take their own poop and you put it in the hole and you lightly cover it up with dirt, okay? I don't want you to fully cover it up, lightly cover it up, about an inch or so. What this does is when they smell their poop in the hole they dug, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to want to put their paws in there and start digging, okay? Now, if you have a puppy, they might start doing this, but older dogs that still dig, this one typically works. Now, what happens is holes, when they start digging holes, it's almost like an art project. Dogs look at it like they're, you know, Salvador Dali. They're like, oh, I'm going to dig a bunch of holes here and make this beautiful Jackson Pollock painting. So what you want to do is you want to continue the process. They're going to start digging a new hole, probably a few feet away. Repeat the process. After about 3 or 4 days, you're gonna start beating them at their own game, and they're gonna give up the whole battle of digging holes. You have to remember, when it comes to animal training, it's small little battles you constantly have to win, especially with a young dog. Young dogs, they're very persistent, okay, and they're looking for trouble constantly. And so what happens is, if you let them win these little battles and you don't do anything about it, they'll never get over the whole digging holes in the yard thing. And that's probably the case with an older dog. So what you want to do is you want to constantly beat them at their own game, win these little battles, and eventually they give up because they realize it's not fun anymore. So put the poop in the hole, lightly cover it up with dirt, rinse and repeat the process if they keep doing it. And usually after a few days, they give it up, maybe a week to 10 days if they're pretty persistent. So give it a try. Very good question, very common question. And I'm not surprised it was asked today. So, okay. So the next question is for you, Doc.
Okay.
Okay. So, from Nicole Adler, how do I manage my Chihuahua's teeth cleaning and extractions? How often do I brush her teeth with what, et cetera, et cetera? His weight is 5 pounds.
Okay. Well, Nicole, I'm going to say this to everyone. We had so many questions about the teeth. Did you know that dental disease is 100% preventable? How do you guys think you prevent it, Brandon, Joey? How do you prevent the dental disease?
Brush.
I would say brush and go to a vet.
Yes, but brushing. All dental disease is 100% preventable. You ever go camping and you know, you don't have your toothbrush, and then what happens to your teeth? You get that slime, right? You know how you feel that slime when you haven't brushed your teeth in a day or two?
Yep.
That slime is billions of bacteria.
That's what I'm feeling right now. Is that what you're
saying?
It might
be. Oh, God, you have a little halitosis.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
I brush my teeth.
I'm glad you have a mask.
I can't believe you can't smile in these things. You can't really see my emotion.
It's true. I think this is the first Facebook Live with masks maybe you've done.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so here's the thing is, if you don't brush your pet's teeth at least every other day, they're going to get that bacterial slime buildup. It's going to mix with the saliva, and then they're going to have tartar, big chunks of tartar, bram, and it turns green. Then you know what happens? Then it gets into the periodontal disease. And guess where that goes? That goes in the bloodstream. Where does the blood go in your dog or cat? Everywhere. It goes in every organ. So now you have bacteria going in every organ of your pet's body with infection. And so we, you know, people get so frustrated, but why do the dentals cost so much? Because we do it the way you have it done. We do dental x-rays. We have to obviously sedate the dogs and cats because you can't get a good x-ray of all of their teeth. You can't properly clean the teeth. But again, you know, that's just once the teeth have built up. I had a question about teeth that said, well, my dog's 10, it can't have a dental. Yes, it can. I do 17-year-old dogs. What are you going to do? Let their teeth just sit there and rot out where they can't open their mouth? No, and you've got to take care of their teeth, because if you see these countries where they don't have people that brush their teeth rot out and they have a shortened lifespan. So increase your pet's lifespan. And I'm sure Brandon can tell you tips on how to get your pet to allow them to at least wipe their teeth or brush their teeth. Because I know people that over time and patience, they are able to do that.
Let me ask you a question, Doc. Mm-hmm. What is it possible, given the fact that small dogs like Yorkies and Chihuahuas, their teeth are, yes, are just so compressed together?
Yes. Yes.
Is it possible for them to retain all their teeth into their mid to late teens?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
But the key is you have to brush your teeth. And a lot of small dogs, the owners have a harder time getting something in there to brush them.
Yeah.
And also the, you know, the dental chews, that nothing replaces that. Chewing on a bone, none of that stuff takes the place of brushing. So start when they're puppies. Get the little finger caught. Oh, look, you got a 2-pound chihuahua. Get your little finger in there, do some beef bouillon, and get them to really like that. Oh, mom's going to brush her teeth today. So if you did brush their teeth every other day, they would not have the teeth rot out. Okay. And you're right. The little dogs have more tartar because all the teeth are crammed in surface area in a smaller amount.
It's hard to get. I mean, it's hard to get a toothbrush way back. Especially my finger is literally the size of their entire mouth. So it's really tough.
But they have like little cots, little finger cots that you can use.
Yep.
That you can use. Because remember, you're just trying to wipe away the bacteria. You're not having to use a lot of force. You're just removing the billions of bacteria that adhere to the dental enamel. And one last thing, you've got to do the toothpaste for dogs, and you have to use a toothbrush because their teeth are softer and our bristles are too rough and they don't spit out. So you can't use our toothpaste because it's too high in fluoride.
All right. Well, that was educational for me.
A mouthful.
Yeah, that was a mouthful. And here's another mouthful. This is a very long question, so bear with me. I know I'm gonna just stomp on this somewhere. Okay, Penelope asked, my 2-year-old Staffy mix has been having stomach issues since January. I've been to the veterinarian since the start. We've done 2 different antibiotics, flora supplements, steroids, and changed his diet. He's not had any treats for months. His diet literally consists of either mashed potatoes, plain, no butter, or white steamed rice. I tried a couple weeks to add a soft boiled egg with his rice, hoping that might help. Nope. This is a very long question, so I'm trying to micro-size it here. He's been pooping either mushy or muddy sometimes. Semi-form poop or just straight liquid diarrhea. You just painted a picture, by the way. I'm desperately needing help. He's been off kibble for months. He's not had any other problems. He did have a UTI though in the beginning of the year, and it cleared right away. I don't know what to do for him. This is a question for you, Joey, since you're the food expert.
Okay. Well, I tell you, that's really exactly the situation. Almost a couple of years ago, when I first called Brandon up and told him I was coming back into the pet industry, I wanted to try our new food. It's all about gut health and building up a great microbiome. I did not know when Brandon told me, bring some food over. I did not know the problem he had with a particular dog that he was training for a post-traumatic stress soldier. And you were having the same kind of problems that you just said in this question.
Yeah.
And same thing. And he went on what I sent him, which was our salmon diet. And because it's all about gut health and rebuilding the microbiome with prebiotics, it cleared it up. And I remember, Brandon, you telling me that you and actually did an ultrasound on that dog, and that dog that you had the problems with had a thick stomach lining that wasn't allowing him to absorb nutrients.
Yes, it was inflamed, and so the nutrients, he was only getting about 20 to 25% of the nutrients that his body should have been getting. And so that's when I switched to you. You called me up and you said, I know what to do.
Yeah, and it was good timing for us, because I didn't know you had that dog, but I brought you the new Dr. Fahey, you know, special, you know, prebiotic fiber blend, and it worked, and it's worked on this same story. I've heard this story a lot. So I do think that our prebiotic fiber blend will help this dog. And Penelope, you said her name was?
It was a male. His name was
The lady that asked the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sorry. I think
you said Penelope. So we're gonna DM you, Penelope, and I'm gonna send you a free bag, and then I want to follow up with you, and I believe we can clear this problem up. It's all about gut health, and I think we're gonna clear this problem up. So we'll DM you today and get a bag out to you, and then let's follow through and see if we can clear your problems up.
And I'm going to second at Marina Vet real quick. We get dogs like that. People get frustrated. They start feeding them anything and everything, and we put them on the Lucy pet food, and it clears up the majority of those dogs with tummy problems.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Do you ever notice that your pet's fur may have lost its shine and not feel as soft as it should? Well, I've been using this elite conditioning shampoo made by Equus on my pack here at the ranch, and it's made a huge difference. The shine and softness of their coats is completely noticeable. You wouldn't put damaging skin products on your own body, so why would you do that with your pet? Equus products are made with the finest quality ingredients available, which are human grade and not industrial grade. That's very important. And they're also backed by a 100% money-back guarantee. And who wants a discount? I love saying that. Visit Equus.com. That's EQYSS.com, and enter Brandon at checkout for a 15% discount. That's Equus.com. EQYSS.com. Check them out right now.
So here's one for me. Okay, so hello, Brandon. I just got a new German Shepherd puppy. He's 10 weeks old. How do I begin the training process to walk him on a leash? Okay, so a 10-week-old puppy, right off the bat, they're too young to learn the heel command, even though German Shepherds are arguably one of the most intelligent breeds out there and one of the most trainable. It's still a little too young for them to logically understand the heel command. So what you want to do is you want to do a process known as leash drags. Leash drags is all you do is it's a prerequisite to the heel. All you got to do is put a leash on their collar or their harness, and you're going to let them drag it around the house. Observe. Very important you observe them. You don't just let them just run around the house all day dragging it, because they can get caught up in stuff. So what you're doing is you're letting them drag the leash around. You're letting them feel this new object around their collar or their harness. And every once in a while, all you're going to do is you're going to pick the leash up and put it back down. And every couple days, you're going to add a little more pressure. You're going to pick it up, do a slight little tug back so they understand that leash is now, it comes with a little bit of resistance here and there. And you're going to drop it. And you're going to do this slowly but surely over the next few weeks. And what this does, it gets the dog used to the idea that there's this new object on him. Because the leash, the biggest thing that happens with a dog is if you put on a leash and you start putting pressure on right away, they're going to resist. And they're going to hate the leash. So this is why I like to do this process known as leash drags. Let them drag it around. Every once in a while, pick it up, a little bit of pressure, drop it. And then when the dog is ready to learn the heel, a German Shepherd should be ready between 4 and 5 months, because they are that smart. That's when you start doing the heel process. But you want to do this prerequisite before you start the heel. So the leash drags is an ideal way. I do this with all my very young puppies that aren't ready to learn the heel. And not to mention the fact you want to make sure they have all their shots anyway before you get them on the sidewalk to teach them a heel. So give it a try, leash drags, and remember, most importantly, don't let it drag it around the house unobserved. You want to make sure you're observing them. So make sure you're home and do 15-minute sessions. Let them drag it around, pick it up every once in a while, drop it. Get them used to the whole idea that leash is now connected to their body, essentially. And now this is where we start the heel training process. Okay, so the next question is for Dr. Karen Halligan. Okay. Why are, this is from August C. Linder the fourth.
Okay.
Very good name there. Why are vaccines not measured by the weight of the dog? I don't understand why you give the same dose of a vaccine to a 15-pound dog as a 75-pound dog.
Okay, well, August, I got a lot of questions about vaccines. So, first of all, what is a vaccine? You know, we're all waiting for the COVID-19 vaccine, right? Because vaccines work. They protect you against an intruder, a virus usually. So what the vaccine is, it is the actual antigen that stimulates the immune system that you give to the person or to the dog to make antibodies, which then says to your body, oh, the immune system is prepared to fight, because the antibodies are not what fight the disease. You have all these other cells that come and fight the disease. So vaccines are very important in building up immunity when you get challenged by a deadly virus. Vaccines are not created by weight at all right? The way a vaccine is created is the amount of antigen load or dangerous viral particle that's going to make your body think that you have the disease without getting you sick, all right? So that's what it does. It's the amount of virus, I'm saying it again, all right, that's going to stimulate the immune system. And it has nothing to do with weight at all. That's why a 15-pound dog gets the same as a Great Dane, because they both have similar immune systems. And so it's very important to get the vaccines when they're young. You'll get a series, because people ask, why do I get a series? Because when the puppies are born, they get antibodies from their moms that go away with time, that protect them a little bit, but by 6 weeks, they don't really have a lot. So you have to start vaccinating. And then I got a lot on, well, how often we're over vaccinating, pets are dying from it. Listen, talk to your vet. Your vet is there to look at your pet's lifestyle, how active they are, what age are they, to determine if you need them yearly, every 3 years. Maybe your dog's 14. I'm not going to vaccinate a 14-year-old dog. And last thing on the vaccines, you can do what's called a titer. And that measures if you have antibodies. Aren't we doing that right now with COVID? People are really learning about vaccines, which is great. So if you're very holistic and you go, you know, I'm worried, I don't want to vaccinate my dog, then have its titer tested to see if it has protection. The reason we don't do more of those is they're very expensive. How expensive? $300 for a distemper parvo titer. So that's why we don't do them. But, you know, we're here as vets to help you not to over-vaccinate your pet, but vaccines save pets' lives.
Next question actually is a very good question, because a long time ago I had the same question. And this is honestly, this is a trend that's been going on for a long time now. Everybody has this question right here. So from Sarah Forrester, I've looked at Lucy Pet Food and considered buying it, but it's grain-free. My vet does not recommend grain-free food due to the association with cardiomyopathy. Is that how it is?
Myopathy.
Myopathy, sorry. Why would you recommend grain-free food?
Well, I actually feed my dogs grain-free, but I also make food with grain. I have both. Grain-free, without grain, with grain. It's up to you. To what your dog likes. They've actually proven no correlation between this. This has been going on for a year, and they have first started coming out with it's potatoes, it's peas, it's legumes, it's all these different ingredients. Mm-hmm. And everybody's been in a panic. Well, there's been no scientific proof to prove that. It hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And what's confusing is there's plenty of cases the dogs were eating grain. Mm-hmm. And they got DCM. Then there's cases where dogs are grain-free. They got DCM. There's cases where dogs have canned food or raw food. They got DCM. So they don't know yet.
Well, so let me just continue on that. Yeah. Since you're a vet. Their vet said they don't recommend the grain-free food. How do you answer that?
Well, it's frustrating because we've had cases of dilated cardiomyopathy in dogs that were being fed, like Joey said, grain-free and with grain dog food. So they don't really understand exactly what's causing it 100%. Yep. But like what Joey said, is you gotta go to the source of who's making the food. Like the Lucy Pet, it's a local plant here in Los Angeles. You have the industry leader formulating the food, and he's doing it not just a business, it's because he cares. He has a heart. He wants to make good food for pets. Can you talk to them? Go to their website. Can you find out who's making their formulas? So it's important to research the pet food company that you're currently feeding. Are they on the list? There's all these lists that have the food, that have the dogs that have gotten it. So I think it's easy to figure out if your food is safe to feed, and it is not, whether it's grain-free or has grain in it. It's about, like Joey said, it's the formulas.
And this list you're talking about, it can be found online?
Yeah, you should do your due diligence on the brand you're feeding right now. And if you call them or email them, they go, well, we don't know who's doing our formulas. You shouldn't be feeding that food, right? Or, oh yeah, we hired Joe Blow, who's a tech company, right? It got a lot of money, who's doing our formulas because it looks fancy with blueberries and chickpeas. I'm serious. Yeah. That's what they're telling people. Yeah. Well, you don't want to feed that food.
So why is this not a thing in the industry where they have to tell you exactly what's in the food to the T, down to the exact detail?
They just don't. There's guidelines from AFCO and various mm-hmm. things for what you call ingredients, and it is what it is.
Yeah. And Brandon, you know, there was euthanasia solution found in dog food, what, in 2018?
Yeah, that happens.
So how do you think that's getting in there? Because you're having animals that were euthanized, which are not supposed to make it into the food chain, making it in because, like Joey said, that's cheap ingredients.
So you're saying they would put actual euthanized dogs into the dog food?
The horses and cows have to walk up to the slaughterhouse before they're allowed to be used. But what happens is, the horse is so sick you can't, they have to euthanize it and then put it in a truck and dump it off, and they use the unscrupulous suppliers. And they're out there, right, Joey?
Oh, they're
out there, Brandon.
There's plenty of suppliers. Actually, we're getting a long question, but
this is an important question, though.
It's very important.
Because this is the big unknown question.
I got 20 questions on food that I...
No, this is the question that most people have.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's taken a long time to get through it.
Yeah.
If you actually go online and type in the, the pet food industry fraud list, what that is lawyers analyzed a bunch of foods and found fraud. Why that's really horrible. Say, for example, say you're a veterinarian, right? And your dog is itching and scratching, right? So as a veterinarian, you say, you know what? We did a panel. He's allergic to pork and beef. So don't feed him any pork and beef. Yeah. Put him on a lamb and rice diet.
Yeah.
So you go out to your pet store, you get that lamb and rice diet, and you put your dog on it. And now you got your vet appointment in 3 weeks. So you go back to the vet and you tell the vet, my dog is still scratching. Nothing's improved at all.
Yeah.
And so now the vet looks bad because we've done the panel. We know what the dog's allergic to, mm-hmm. right? And what's going on? Well, then you find out through analyzation that these companies are making a lamb and rice diet, but in the diet, it has pork, beef, and chicken.
Mm-hmm. How much are we talking now?
I mean, a lot, significant.
So you're saying it could be technically, they put lamb in there, a small amount, but it's still the main ingredient is boar, beef or chicken?
I mean, if your vet's done the panel and it's pork, he's allergic to pork, beef, or chicken, and you give him a food that's got pork, beef, and chicken, he's still going to have the same scratching and everything else going on.
What Joey's saying is that what's on the label is not in the food, Brandon, because they're not testing the food. So it's up to the conscience of the person that's running the pet food company to make sure there's checks and balances that doesn't happen. But it's happening. There's a class action lawsuit right now against 20 brands where they went and studied the different foods.
Yep.
And just like what he said, here we're telling you to go do lamb and rice, and then the lamb and rice diet had chicken and pork, and the pets are allergic to that. So we're as vets scratching our heads going, that's weird. And so this is now coming to the surface that there's a lot of, it's really a big business, pet food. It's really sad. People don't realize that it's about profit margin, right, Joey? Because it's probably cheaper to put in the other foods than the lamb, right? I would imagine chicken is cheaper than lamb.
Yeah, yeah. So, Joey, I mean, let's move on. But the final thing on this question.
Yeah.
What assurance? So, I mean, I feed like a lot of people right now. A lot of people are switching to Lucy Pet. What assurances can you give them that you're not doing that to your food?
Well, you know what? I've already built a big company, sold it, and could have retired. And as soon as I sold it, I went and did. I knew I had to give back because dogs and cats gave me a great life. So I got my Lucy Pet Foundation, which Dr. Halligan is the chief surgeon. And she's done 28,000 free spay and neuters. So I came back into it because I didn't know what to feed my dogs anymore. So the whole thing, why I'm here, is to really, I want to clean up the industry. And I also have a lot of dogs that I wanted to know what was going into my dog's food. And the only way to do that is I make it myself. And the great thing about it, I've been doing this for so long, I know the suppliers that are selling junk.
Yep.
I know who they are.
Yep.
And I just won't do that. I won't. We won't buy from them. So I've been through it for so many years. I know all the tricks of the trade. I know what they do.
Yep.
And I just won't do that. So the food is only as good as the guy at the top.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, if the guy at the top is, you know, not putting the health of animals first, then you're going to get what you get.
Yeah.
And that's why that duck and potato, Marina Vet. Okay. We put dogs on that duck and potato that come back allergic to chicken. Why? We know that what's on the label is in the bag. We know 100%. That's why I recommend it. That's why Dr. Moss, who's a practice owner here, he recommends it too, because the relationship we have with Joey and the plant and everything, so.
Okay, so this one's for me. What is the best way to introduce a dog into my current pack? I'm getting a new rescue dog next week. I wanna do this right. Okay, so I always say when you're introducing a dog into your current pack, number one, is your current pack accepting of new dogs? Okay, if they are, there's really no worries, because for example, I've got a few dogs in my house. They're accepting of every dog that comes in my house. I've never had a problem. So if that's the case with you, you shouldn't have a problem there. Now, what about the people that it's kind of iffy? You don't know. You know, your dog can actually be hit or miss with new dogs coming into their territory. So what you want to do is you always want to introduce them in what's known as a neutral zone. A neutral zone is something like a sidewalk, a park, an area where no dog claims himself. You have to understand, your house, that is your dog's territory. Your dog is very territorial of their territory. They've marked the entire area. If it's a female, they've pretty much done the same in their own ways. No matter what, that is their house. Anyone coming in that is not their family or their four-legged siblings essentially is an intruder, and they usually treat them as so. So always make sure that you introduce them in a neutral zone. Now, if you are really questioning if your dogs are aggressive and there might be a fight to break out, what I always do is I make sure that both dogs are on leash. You want to do what's called nosing at first. This is where the dogs just kind of nose each other. Make sure the leashes are held by two individuals and the dogs can only nose each other, okay? Then, as you see that you've made progress, you could slack up a little bit. What's going to happen? They're going to sniff around the neck. And then what they'll do is they'll do the doggy handshake, which, as we all know, that's where they go around the backside and give it a sniff and see what's going on back there. So only move on when you know that it's safe, when they've done the nosing, and then you can let them go just kind of neck to neck. And this way you have the leashes, and just in case something happens, you can pull them back, okay? Once they shake hands, once they sniff the back end, they've kind of shaken hands. That's usually where things start loosening up. You see them kind of like, you know, they loosen up. They almost go into a play mode, because they've gotten past the first like 30 to 45 seconds. That's usually the initial time where something potentially goes down. Again, once you've gone through those steps in the neutral zone, in the neutral area, that's where you can start bringing them inside the house. So again, never recommend it just to bring them inside the house and see what happens, because if your dog is territorial, they could be territorial of their property of the new dog coming in. So great question and a very common scenario. This is from Mindy. This is for you, Doc.
Okay.
From Mindy Sosaman. I hope I'm saying that correctly. How safe is flea and tick medication, really?
I know. She said it's a pesticide. The flea and tick medication that we have now, A lot of it is safe. Some of it, I would say, is safe in certain dogs and is unsafe in other dogs. So yes, you should question the safety of chemicals you're putting into your dog, as everybody is. So, all right, so what is the safest? Well, the safest to put on your pet, if you have a pet that does have comorbidities, now is the big word, but like has diabetes or is older, or you're just worried, is the topical flea and tick medication. Why is that? Because the topical medicine just stays in the hair follicle. It doesn't go what we call systemic. That means it's going inside the bloodstream. So the safest is that topical that you put on. They have it for cats and dogs. There's Frontline, there's Pet Armor, generic Frontline, there's Revolution, there's Advantage, all those things. That's very safe. The second one that's also safe that works is the Seresto collar made by Bayer. I find it to work better in smaller dogs and cats, not so much in the big animals. Again, it's a collar and it's just in the hair follicle. So it's really safe, right? It's not going to harm the pets. And, you know, we get like 5-week-old kittens and we'll see fleas and we'll put like a drop of that topical or the, I mean, so we know it's safe. So that works. But let's say you wash your pet a lot. Do you think you're going to wash off some of that topical?
I would say, yeah.
Because they say, oh, you know, survives water. You can wash your dog. Well, they say that, guys. But in reality, no, you can't wash your dog if you've put that topical and it's on the hair follicles. They go to the beach and stuff, they get wet. So then these pets come in, the owners will put the topical on every 4 weeks, but they're giving them baths. If you're going to do the topical and you give them a bath, you're going to have to repeat it again. You can repeat it as soon as every 2 weeks, you can do every 3 weeks, but it does wash off. So if you have a pet that you wash a lot, you're going to have to do something that's oral that's not going to wash off, that is more systemic. The one that's the newest, safest one that we sell here a lot is the NexGard. That's a chewable pill that does fleas and ticks. Do you think we have ticks here in Santa Monica, Brentwood, Palisades?
Yes, of course.
You bet we do. We have a lot of ticks here.
Yep.
So, you know, little Fifi's walking on the sidewalk and they come back and they're taking the Comfortis, which is a pill, but it doesn't protect against ticks. So you got to make sure you have something for ticks because we do get a lot of ticks out here. So the NexGard is a safe one. Comfortis, that's safe, doesn't get ticks. And then you go to these big daddy ones, Bravecto, Trifexis. I don't personally recommend those. Because those are so strong and we have had dogs have serious side effects with those. So unless you have to go to something like that, it's not going to be my choice. I like to err on the side of caution, more holistic. And with that being said, there really isn't any like herbal thing that you can put on your pet.
That was my next question.
Yeah. I wish there was. There's some that are deterrents.
What about just flea baths?
Once a week, just a good flea bath? Yeah, that just makes them clean for the fleas. You know, so I mean,
isn't there a flea and tick bath formula though?
Yeah, but it doesn't have residual. Uh-huh. There's no residual. So you make your pet nice and clean. You kill all the flea on it. Did you guys know the life cycle of the flea is like that of a butterfly? It's adult, egg, larvae, pupae. Okay. Only 5% is in the adult form. So where are the other 95%, Brandon? What are they in? Egg, larvae, pupae. That's the problem. You're washing your dog, you're getting on the little adults. Ooh, but what's all over in your environment? The egg, the larvae, and the pupae. They're just waiting for your clean dog to just go over there and then they hatch and they jump on your dog.
Well, what about, there's companies that actually come and they spray and put powder. Are those companies good?
Yes, they are.
Because I use it myself.
Yes, it's very effective.
I find them to be phenomenally effective.
No, because it's very easy to kill the egg and the larvae. The pupae is harder, so you want to get the egg and the larvae so they never go to the pupae stage.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the point is, I'm going to end. You got to do the dog, the dog's environment, and the yard, not just the dog.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, I use those myself, yeah. And I find great success in it. So,
yeah.
What is your advice to everyone listening just where they can get just basic information about any dog food out there. Do you recommend that reading that list to start with?
Go look on the pet food fraud list. That's interesting.
And you can just Google pet food fraud list?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Doesn't the government have a list?
Well, the FDA has the DCM list.
Okay.
But a lot of those formulas, some of those really pet foods, their cases are so small, it shouldn't even be on it. But you got to look at some of them. Yeah. I mean, there's some formula issues going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not so much, I believe, and we'll see when it all gets set and done, but I believe it's, since I pioneered a lot of those ingredients and never had a problem for 25 years, why now? So I believe that the formulations aren't correct and they're causing issues.
All right, guys, we are going to wrap up, and I hope you all learned a lot. If people want to go to the Lucy website?
Yeah, go to lucypetfoods.com, read about Dr. Fahey and all about our products. Also, go to Lucy Pet Foundation.
I was just going to say that the foundation is phenomenal. To date, they've done over 28,000 free spay and neuters all over California. So, all right, guys, this has been great. I learned a lot. Thank you, Doc Halligan. Yeah. Thank you, Joey Herrick.
Thank you.
And we'll be doing this again. Trust me, I'll have different experts on. I'll try to do this at least once a month, possibly more. So thanks for joining everybody. And be sure to share this with your friends, your family, everybody. We're just trying to give information. We're trying to spread knowledge. Free advice is worth its weight in gold. So be sure to share this with your friends and family. All right, everyone. Have a good week.